Would you stand with me? Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. Conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, this I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I have a few announcements here. First off, tonight there will be choir practice at 5 p.m. and then prayer time at 6 p.m. December 5th, staff appreciation banquet at First Baptist Church of Harrison, beginning at 6:30. Please let Miss Betty know if you'd like to go by tomorrow. December 13th, there will be an Awana store. If you have small items you'd like to donate for Christmas gifts for the kids to buy with their Awana bucks, please see Lauren Robinette. December 17th, choir program during the morning service. And then December 20th, we'll be having our children's Christmas program at 6 p.m. That's on a Wednesday. There will be no meal, but there will be refreshments following. I don't know if I'm supposed to say all that.
Yeah. Let's go caroling. Let's plan on going December 17th on Saturday night. And y'all plan to go with us and be making a list of places you would like for us to go. And then get with me and we'll try to make a plan.
All right. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you just so much for every blessing you've given us, God. Thank you for this week and this time we got to spend with family. God, I pray for the message Lynn's going to bring us, God. I pray you just give us ears to hear, God. I pray you just watch over and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one.
throughout my history. Your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see evidence of the goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fears may come, but fears will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin is rolled away because of you.
Now. mountains move. You make giants fall. You use songs of praise to shake prison walls. I will speak my name. I will feel my death. You are faithful then. You'll be faithful now. You are faithful then. You'll be faithful now. But you make mountains move. You make giants fall.
Times the only way to discover God's faithfulness is through adversity. That's what this last song, and that's what many of the songs have had to do with tonight, is not thanking God for his blessings just when things are going well, but thanking God even when things aren't. And believing when things aren't that he is still good. Amen, church? Amen.
When sorrows like sea.
praise the Lord. If the men would start making their way forth this time, we'll take our offering. And if you're here visiting us this morning, we want to welcome you and to tell you about the blue cards in the pew in front of you. We'd love to find more about you. And so if you'll fill one of those out and put it in a plate when it goes by, we'll know whether or not you want to visit. And we just want to make sure you feel welcome.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne of grace this morning, thanking you for your rich blessings. And Lord, we thank you for the strength that you give us when the blessings seem awfully difficult. But Lord, we love you for all that you do for us. And now, Lord, I pray for this offering. I pray for both the gift and the giver. I pray, Lord, that we can continue to serve our Savior, Jesus Christ, by the things that this church does and the offerings that we take to support the church. We praise you, and we just thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right, so if the kids could be dismissed, Brother Lynn.
Good morning. Hey, first of all, doesn't the auditorium look beautiful this morning? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm guessing some ladies did this. Because sometimes I know men, we're not the best decorators, but it looks great. Thank you. This is really setting the tone for the next few weeks, especially for Christmas. And I'm now past Thanksgiving and ready and excited. We're listening to Christmas music at home as much as we can get on the radio. And so it's that time of year. And I hope you've had a great Thanksgiving. I appreciate being able to sing this morning, Count Your Many Blessings, because that was just kind of the theme of this past week. Even for me, I would try and stop and say, man, I've got to count some blessings here. I want to count the blessings because we have been so blessed. And I know that holidays can be difficult. I mean, you know, psychologists say that holidays are some of the hardest times of the year for us to deal with. And so I know the holidays can be difficult, but man, when we can stop and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given us, what you've done for us, for the blessings that aren't just material but eternal, it just does something for our hearts. So I'm thankful. I'm very thankful today. I stand before you thankful and grateful. One of the things I'm grateful for is just to be a part of this fellowship and to be a part of y'all today. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And today we're kind of continuing our little study through the book of Acts. And I always say this, but I'm excited to jump into God's Word and see what He's going to tell us today and look at what this Word says and what we can grab out of it. And again, it's always fun for me to try and, for me to really grasp God's Word, I have to put it in a way that I can understand it, to put handles on it. Because once I leave church or once I've studied something, I want to be able to have a handle on it so that I can hand it off to somebody else. So hopefully, you know, when you do Bible study, when you get to Sunday school, you walk out of there with a handle on it that you're going to pass on to somebody else one of these days. And so hopefully today there's some handles we can grab onto that will help us understand about what's happening in the second chapter of Acts. It's exciting. This is an exciting chapter, and we're going to just take a little bite of it today. Now, if you've been with us or if you haven't been with us, we've been looking through and working through our way through the first chapter of Acts, and with some of the things that we've seen is that part of it is about what Jesus told us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know, when he said, this is what I want you to do. He says to his disciples before he ascends into heaven, he says, I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait on the promised Holy Spirit. And so the promise of God that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And we're getting to that place in Acts chapter 2. This is where it's going to come. So the disciples had one thing on their checklist. That was they were supposed to go back to Jerusalem and they were to wait. Okay? So what had happened in that first part of Acts is this. It ends, the Gospels end with the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And the Acts chapter 1 picks up to let us know what happens next. And so what happens next is after Jesus is resurrected, he's on the earth for 40 days. Okay? And during that time, he's teaching his disciples. He's explaining things to his disciples. He's discipling his disciples and the apostles and those that are with them. And so they've come in Acts chapter 1, they've come to the end of that 40 days. And now he has ascended into heaven, and what we looked at last week was they had to fill that position of disciple that was left open by Judas, so they elected Matthias to be the next disciple, and where it ends, chapter 1 ends, it says this, that Matthias is numbered with the other apostles, that he is numbered with the other 11 apostles. And so we're in this stretch, 40 days have gone. They've gone back to Jerusalem. There are about 120 of them gathered together in one place, and they are praying and waiting on the Holy Spirit. Now, that kind of sets up where we're at today. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, this is where we're at. It says this, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there..." Oh, by the way, y'all mind standing as we... I almost forgot. I'm going to start over these four verses because they're powerful. There's a lot in here for us. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Let me pray for us. Father, once again, this has been asked, and I'm just asking again, that your Spirit, we know that your Spirit's present. It's not that we're asking you to come, your Spirit to come, because it's already here. And I'm so grateful for that. You have promised it, and we've received it. And so, Father, may your Spirit today be active. May it be moving in our hearts and our minds to teach us what you desire for us to know. That, Father, when we walk out of here, we are more like you than ever before. We are more like your Son Jesus than ever before. And that we have faith that is strengthened, and we've been encouraged to live like Jesus. So, Father, may every day we walk in your Spirit. Father, you are so good to us. Again, we lift up our praise. We lift up our thanksgiving. We lift up our gratitude to you for what you've done for the earthly blessings and also the heavenly blessings that we have. God, I pray over this church. You bless this congregation. You bless this community of believers. And Father, may you continue to just use them in phenomenal ways. That Father, that for miles and miles around, people would know that this place, when these people gather, this is a special place to fit in, to be loved, to feel a part of, to be valued. Father, we pray all these things in your Son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're jumping into chapter 2 of Acts. Is a long, great chapter. And it is about the birth of a church. It's about the first church plant. And if we don't have time to get all the way through it, but we're going to just kind of get an introduction to it this morning. And the thing about Pentecost is it can't be duplicated. It's not something that can be duplicated. There are events and there are miracles that happen at Pentecost that we can't duplicate as a church. I mean, they were all in one place. They were all waiting. They were there was the filling of the Holy Spirit. There was the sound that spread out all over Jerusalem. There were the tongues of fire. There were the different languages. We can't duplicate that. But let me tell you what we can duplicate, okay? We can duplicate the culture of Pentecost, okay? We can duplicate the culture of Pentecost, meaning this, they were all unified. And there is a theme that runs through Scripture, runs through Acts, and we've already touched upon it last week, but it runs through the Scripture about believers being unified. And this is the culture of Pentecost, unity, being in one accord. So the first thing I want us to look at is this, that it was a unified, the people were unified in place. Okay? They were unified in place. It says that they were all together in one place. And why were they in one place? Number one, Jesus had told them to go back. And he had said, I want you to go back and I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Wait for the promise of the Father. The word place here, though, is a real unique word. It's got a kind of a double meaning. So it's not only a geographical place, because they were all in one place. They were, just like we're all in one place here. But the other side of that meaning is this. They were all in one accord, one in spirit, one in mind, one in heart. It has that place. So when it's talking about they were all in one place, it's that the idea of us coming to a point of agreement. Oh, we've got to that place where we all agree and we're all on the same mind and same heart. We're all in one accord. So the first thing I want you to see is that they were unified all in one place, not just location, but mentally, spiritually. They were there together. And they were waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. Two things. They were waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit, but God was waiting on something else. He was waiting on Pentecost. Okay? They were waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. And back in that first chapter of Acts, it says, "And you have heard from John, who baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So think about this, 40 days, and then Jesus leaves, and then there's about a 10-day span, and then Pentecost, okay? God was waiting on Pentecost. Acts 2, when it says the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And Pentecost, the word Pentecost is a Greek word, okay? It's not the word that the Hebrews would use to say what was going on. If we could go back to Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus chapter 23, Moses lays out some of the holy days, sacred events and festivals. In Leviticus 23, it lists three holidays, three festivals that were holy, that are important, and they were the festival of Passover, the festival of the first fruits, and the festival of first weeks. And you're thinking, well, why is this important? I just want to show you how organized God is in his laying out. And we're talking about being in one place, because they were in one place waiting on the Holy Spirit, but God was waiting for Pentecost. And this is why. When on the festival of Passover, all of the Hebrews, all the Jews who were scattered all over the world were required to come in for the Feast of the Passover. And you remember what the Feast of the Passover was. It was the last curse that was placed upon the Egyptians so that Moses could lead them out of Egypt. It was the death angel who passed over those who had made the sacrifice, placed the blood on the door. It was the passing over of the death angel. It was for the Hebrews, it was redemption. It was Moses taking them out of slavery. They were it was freedom from bondage. They had been slaves for 300 years, and when they were in the wilderness and God gave Moses the Torah and the Ten Commandments, one of the things he said that needed to happen was, I want you to set aside a festival for Passover, because it is critical that you remember where you've come from. You've come from slavery. You've come from bondage. And now you are free. It's a festival of freedom. And even though they were under Roman law at this time, they were still, in a way, free, spiritually free. That Passover, the death of Jesus, that was the time that Jesus came to Jerusalem and the time that he was sacrificed for our sins. so that we might have that kind of freedom. The next festival, which is interesting, the Festival of First Fruits, fell on the day after Passover. So the Festival of First Fruits, you had that whole week of Passover celebration and festivals, and you celebrated that, and then you had the Sabbath, and then on which would be, the Sabbath was on Saturday, so on the next Sunday after Passover was the next festival, the Festival of First Fruits. And it was the time, it was almost like Thanksgiving. It was the time when they would come and they would give over the first part of their harvest back to the Lord. And so it was a very important festival that they would come through Passover, they would stay for the Festival of First Fruits, and they would give back to God. Now, is it a coincidence that Jesus was raised on the Festival of First Fruits? It wasn't. Jesus was the first fruit. That he was raised from the dead so that we would know that one of these days we would be raised from the dead. He was that first fruit of salvation for us. And then 50 days later, they were to celebrate the third festival of their spring, and that was the Festival of Weeks. The Festival of Weeks. He said, I want you to set aside 7 weeks, and after these 7 weeks, we will have the Festival of Weeks, which in Scripture is for us is called Pentecost. Penta meaning 50, and it would be 50 days after first fruits that Pentecost would come. Now, Pentecost, this festival of first festival of weeks, was to celebrate the commemoration of when Moses was given the law and the Ten Commandments, and he brought it down from the mountain. So it was a special commemoration. And just think of this. On the first Pentecost, with Moses, he brought down the law of God. This Pentecost, we got the Spirit of God. This was, when we're talking about being unified and in one place, This represents the fact that they were not all in one geographical place, but they were all of one mind, one heart. They were all of one accord. So important for us just to kind of grasp the scene there of what God is doing. Because the disciples were waiting on the Holy Spirit, but God was just waiting. I can imagine he was just waiting with excitement to Pentecost to get here to unleash his Holy Spirit on this congregation, on these people, on his people. So exciting to me to think about that. But not only were they unified in one place, they were unified in power. They were unified in power. Look at this. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, they were all filled. They were all in one place. Then we're going to get this all word again. They are all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the idea of this power, it means several things for us. When we receive the Holy Spirit, when you ask Christ into your life, you automatically, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And some things happen. Now, I just want to mention two or three things that happen. First of all is this, that there is a deposit of the Holy Spirit that is placed in you. A deposit of the Holy Spirit that is placed in you. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. It says this, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his Son in our hearts as a guarantee. Romans 8:16 says this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The deposit, this deposit is placed in our life. It is a seal, okay? And I don't know if y'all have used seals in much, but, you know, it's when there are times when you have to have a notary public, right? Have y'all done some of that? When you have to, when you want to make sure that a document is true, and you go to a notary public, and they'll have you sign whatever document that is in front of them, and they will take that little press, that little seal, and they will seal it, and then they will sign it. It is a seal that's placed on that document to show that it's real, that it's not a fraud. If you go back to the when Jesus was buried, you remember this? The Romans said, hey, we're going to seal this tomb. And so they would take a rope after that rock was put in place. They would take a rope and they would stretch that rope across that rock. And they would put clay on this end and a big glob of clay on this end and seal it. And they would take the signet ring and they would punch it in that clay so when it dried, you would know that by law, this has been sealed. And you can't break that seal or it'd be fraud. The good housekeeping seal of approval. You know, when you buy something, you want to make sure that that seal is on there to make sure that it's been tested, that it is true, that it is what it said it is. And listen, folks, when we become believers, God places a seal on us. He places a seal on our hearts, and we have a new identity. You're not what you used to be. You're not even identified as what you used to be, because when God sees that seal, he says, oh, yeah, that's true. That's authentic. That's not a fraud. That's the real thing. And because of that seal, we are a child of God. You've been sealed. The second thing that we have is not just a deposit, but there's a down payment that's placed for you by the Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee. In Ephesians 1, listen to this. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Until God redeems his possession to the praise of his glory. The Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, that it's like a down payment. Have y'all ever had to put earnest money down for something? You know, you decide to buy a piece of property, maybe, real estate, and you have to put down so much money, earnest money, say, yeah, I'm earnest about this. I'm really serious. I'm going to purchase this property, and I'm going to put this earnest money down until I can pay the rest of it. Well, this is that guarantee. This is the deposit that's paid. The Holy Spirit is in you, is that guarantee. It's the earnest money that's been paid that one of these days you will be in heaven with God. The deposit's been paid. The earnest money and the guarantee has been paid. And our heart is changed. Jeremiah 31 says this, that our heart is changed. Romans 5 says this, our identity has been changed. Galatians 5 says this, that our character has been changed. We can walk in a new way of life. That is because now we have a dynamic life. The Holy Spirit not only is your deposit, is not only your down payment, but it allows us to live a dynamic life. And we talked about what dynamic means, a power. The power that's used in Acts 1:8, when it talks about power, we talked about the two types of power. That is dynamite, that causes change by destruction, and then a dynamic kind of power that is causes change by good. There, it is a change that works and works and causes change through doing good things. That's what dynamic means. And we have the possibility now to live a dynamic life. A life that is powered because of the goodness of God. We sang about it a while ago. The goodness of God. And when the goodness of God drives our life, we can see change in your life, in other people's lives, because of the goodness of God. It's a dynamic type of life. The disciples were unified in place, but they were unified in power. And God is going to do something incredible because of that. And then I want you to see this, is that they were unified in practice. They were unified in practice. Well, this verse says, they all begin to speak. And I know it talks about an utterance in the other languages, but we'll talk about that at a later time. But they all begin to speak, and they've all, and if we could go further into that chapter, we'd see that all these people are drawn, and they begin to speak in languages, many, many different languages that people could understand. But I want you to help us understand this, is what, not only what they, how they spoke, but what they spoke. Because what they spoke was about God. This utterance was a kind of praise and worship. It was in people's languages they could understand. It was an utterance of explaining who Jesus was. It was the gospel presented to these people. They were unified in their practice because they all began to speak. And there's a couple of things that I want us to kind of pick up from this. One is this, or the idea is this, is that we are saved on purpose for a purpose. You've probably heard that before. But you and I are saved on purpose for a purpose. And what am I trying to say there? This is it. That we are saved to see God's purpose and to fulfill it. We are saved to see God's purpose and fulfill it. Romans chapter 8 uses a phrase that about the Holy Spirit and about us, and it talks about walking in the Spirit. What does it mean if we are to walk in the Spirit? It means that our life is guided by the Holy Spirit. To walk refers not to just a movement. It refers to a lifestyle, okay? When it's talking about walking in the Spirit, it's about our lifestyle changing and being moved and controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what walking in the Spirit means. So when we walk in the Spirit, it's our spiritual growth. I guess the best way that we can understand it. As we walk this lifestyle out in real life, we are growing spiritually. That's why we gather together. That's why we study the Bible together. That's why we fellowship together. It's why we go out and sing Christmas carols together. We are walking out this lifestyle of the Christian life with a Christian worldview perspective. It's how we learn to be in the presence of God. How else would we walk this out and learn to be in the presence of God? Probably the greatest thing that we could learn to do is learn how to be in the presence of God on a daily, sometimes moment-by-moment basis. Learning to be in the presence of God. It's how we learn to listen to the voice of God. How do we learn? How do we teach our children to learn to listen to the voice of God? It's how we are learn to be obedient to God. It's just not that we are in the presence of God and that we learn to hear the voice of God, but it's how we learn to take action on that and be obedient to what God's calling us to do. There's an obedience factor in knowing and understanding and fulfilling the purposes of God. So when they were all unified in practice, they were obedient. They had heard the voice of God. They were in the presence of God, and they were speaking because they were being obedient to God. second thing is this. In being unified in practice, there are things that, and when we walk with God, there is a natural outflow of what happens. It's just this natural outflowing. This couple of things happen when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and I'm sure that y'all know this. And these things just kind of become the natural outflow of our lives. One, it says in Ephesians that, you know, when we receive Christ and the Holy Spirit comes into our life, He brings gifts into your life. He anoints your life with spiritual gifts. And those spiritual gifts, if you went to Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I think Ephesians chapter 4, you would find a listing of the spiritual gifts that are deposited in our lives. And the reason that the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts is for the edification of the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. And so then every one of you who are believers have spiritual gifts in your life. Some may be stronger than others. Some of those gifts may be more dominant than others, whether it's teaching, encouraging, evangelism, generosity, hospitality. There's so many gifts. And those gifts build up the body of Christ. And they are the natural overflow of what God is doing in your life. When you are walking in the Spirit, the natural overflow for this body are your gifts are being spread around on all of us to make us better in our walk with Christ. That's the way God has planned it. But you know, not only does the Holy Spirit give you gifts, He also brings a fruit. A fruit. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Do you remember that passage? He says that when the Spirit of God comes into the life, part of the overflow is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. He lists 9 different attributes, 9 different fruits that flow out of our life when we are unified in practice. Those fruits also permeate this congregation. Those fruits are the things that make you a purple cow out in the neighborhood, out at Walmart, out at where you're in school or on your job. People see those fruits and they go, wow, you're different. What is it about you that makes you so different? And it's the fruit of the Spirit that's so observable to them that they want to know more about who Jesus is. If y'all would stand with me. This morning, this first few little verses in Acts chapter 2 about the day of Pentecost. Man, they have come to a place. They've been waiting on the promise of the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit falls on them. The festival of weeks is now turned into an incredible, supernatural, spiritual event that can't be duplicated in some ways, but it can be duplicated in this unified Spirit and this unified culture within us because of what God does with His Spirit when He drops it on us and He deposits it in you and me. It changes the way that we live in our world. And it changes the way that people see you. You know, one of the things that that I fear for myself, that I fear for my family, is that sometimes we just get too comfortable. We are so comfortable. Why would we want to change? Why would I want to allow God's Spirit to change me? I'm living a blessed life. I'm living the American dream. I've got more than I ever thought I'd have. So why would God want to change me? Why would I want to allow God to change me? It's because when God gave us this Holy Spirit, He saved us on purpose for a purpose. And that change needs to happen in our life so that other people can experience what it is to have the kind of life that God wants them to have. And so I think that's the challenge for us this morning. We've talked about Thanksgiving, what a blessing it is, how blessed we are. And now it's time to be a blessing to somebody else. And so this morning, if you have not experienced this filling of the Holy Spirit, if you've not accepted Christ, then you've not really kind of experienced what it means for Christ to come into your life, the Holy Spirit to come into your life, and to guarantee not only your purpose in this life, but a life after purpose. And so this morning, I just want to extend the invitation. This is a great time to come and place your faith in Christ, to talk to some friends that are up here about your walk, where you're at, that you want to place your faith in Christ. Please don't pass up this opportunity. I know you can leave here and you can do that out in your car. You can do it someplace else. But this invitation, God's invitation is always open. But to do it with friends around is just really special. And then the second level of this kind of invitation is this. Maybe God's just dealing with you. If you want to give yourself a test on how well you're doing, go back through those fruits of the Holy Spirit and ask yourself, how am I doing in this area? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Are those the types of the Spirit, the overflow that's coming out of your life? Maybe today you just need to pray with somebody and say, hey, I need for you to pray with me that I might have more patience, that I can be more gentle, I can be more kind, that I would love more. Maybe you just love to come and pray about something like that. That's the invitation this morning. So, Matt.
Pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you for Brother Lynn as he brought your word to us to teach us, Lord. And I just pray for unity in this church that we may show the fruits of the Spirit in our congregation. Lord, I pray that you take us home safely, bring us back tonight as we continue to study your word and prayer. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.